So there's these questions we all ask, big questions that have a huge effect on our lives. But there's all this information out there that makes finding a solution difficult. So we came up with a better way to give you the answers that you need. We did a survey at Easter and compiled a list of your top 6 most asked questions. That list then became a roadmap for this message series. Each week, we'll examine a single question and discover God's answers based on His Word. It's a series we like to call, You Asked For It.
Good morning, Victory Church. How y'all doing? How about them Gators? Go Gators. Okay, if you're new or you forgot, today is Gator Day. This is our second year. We're doing a homecoming weekend. We just want to participate and join in the celebration that virtually overwhelms our city. Everybody closes everything on Friday. Schools close because it's homecoming weekend, and we thought we'd just participate in that. And last year, we really enjoyed it. We enjoyed it this year. If you're new, we do have a couple in our church, Bill and Linda Olander, who have a store called Gators Plus on University Avenue. They sell this kind of stuff, gator apparel and so forth, and they wanted to bless you if you're new to our church. At the end of the service, don't run out there now, but at the end of the service, in the lobby, Linda will be there, and she has a gift for you from the Gator Plus store, something gator related. Also, we want to extend that to our first-time guests and any Buckeye fans. Do we have any Buckeyes? Got a couple Buckeyes. We'd like to convert you, and so you'll turn in your Buckeye wear that you're wearing and get some Gator stuff, and next year you can be a Gator. But praise the Lord. Okay, hey, somebody's got a necklace for you, Stefan. You can put that on there. Jerry's got Gator. All right, Buckeyes. Go Buckeyes. It's all right if you support another college team. We welcomed you to bring to wear that, and that's fine as long as it's not Seminole stuff. How about that wall behind me? Come on, somebody, give some praise, Christy. Christy came back from the Grow Conference in Birmingham in July, and she had gone to this seminar on how to integrate a look throughout your church, and she said, "I'm willing to take the team that she had, which was social media, and expand it to cover more." And, you know, I love it when people get on fire and not just, you know, you need to do this, but I'm willing to do it. I'm willing to take the lead. And she assembled a team together. They're going to work on the website. They're going to work on all of our graphics, the look that will be consistent from the parking lot to the website. And this was their first project. They wanted to take our wall and make it look a little bit nicer. Do you think they did a good job? Christy, stand up. And everybody that helped with the wall, stand up if you participated. Look at that. Thank you. You guys did a great job. That's a great job. It's awesome. The first time when I walked in, it was like, wow, it just changes the feel of the whole room. So that's what church is all about. Somebody just saying, you know, I see how we could do something better, and I'm willing to get involved in it and do it. And that's what dream teams are. They, you know, we do. The church is not a sign. It's not a name. It's not a person. It's a group of people coming together and saying, let's advance God's cause. Let's win souls, make disciples, and let's do it with excellence. So thank you very much. You guys are doing a great job. So, yes, we are in a series called You Asked For It. This is part 6. And what that means, You Asked For It, was we asked you on Easter what you would like to hear, what questions you have about the Bible or things that are concerning you in your life. And we're going through them systematically and answering them from a biblical perspective. The next topic that we're going to cover, it was very highly sought after, very high on our statistics. And the question is, what about spiritual warfare? What is it? How does it work? You know, and if you need notes, by the way, we have notes in the worship guide. If you need an extra one, raise your hand. The ushers will be glad to get you notes. But I am so glad you asked this question, because a lot of people don't want to even talk about it. It's like they're afraid of it. But that's not good. You know, you need to understand how this works. So I'm glad you asked this question. And I think the reason that people are afraid of it is because they don't understand it. Or they think they have the misguided notion that once you become a Christian, God's going to do everything and I don't have to do anything. That's not true. Now, he went to the cross, he paid the price, but even Ephesians 2:8 says that you release the grace that's on the cross by your faith. For by grace are you saved through faith. Grace is what God provides, faith is what I provide, and when the two comes together, then the power is released into my life. So it's the same thing with spiritual warfare. It's not just all up to God. There's things that I have to do. So we're going to look into that today. We'll start with Ephesians chapter 6. Look at this passage here. This is in the Bible, written to me and you. Finally, Paul writing to the church at Ephesus. Finally, after everything I said, here it is. I want to sum it up with this. Be strong in the Lord. So if he said, be strong in the Lord, that means you could be weak in the Lord. I think it's like a continuum. You can be strong, you can be stronger, you can be really strong, you can be kind of in the middle. You can be weak, you can be very weak. So that's kind of a sobering thought for us Christians, and it defeats that erroneous theological position that it's all up to God. You realize there are things that God has done and that he does do, but there's things that I have to do also to participate. So he's saying, be strong. It's up to me to be strong and not to be weak in faith. And when things come against me, when there's challenges in life, when things don't go the way you want them to go, things aren't happening the way you expected, your prayers are not being answered, your kids are not turning out the way you thought they would turn out, your finances are not where you thought they'd be. God, I'm tithing, but I don't see the answer yet. Don't give up. That's the time to be strong in your faith. Don't be weak in faith. The Bible says about Abraham, he waited 25 years and said he did not grow weak in faith, but stayed strong in his faith, and then he received what was promised. Why? Because he didn't give up. I want to say that to you, and that's kind of the bottom line of what we're talking about here. Don't give up. But you got to know what's going on. You got to know what you're fighting and how to fight and where is the victory. And that's what we want to talk about today. Be strong in the Lord and what? In his mighty power. See, it's his mighty power, but I have to be strong in his mighty power. I have to be convinced. It has to be in my heart. God's going to take care of me. The devil's saying, you're going to lose. You're going down. You should have never, trusted God and given up those opportunities to be in the ministry. You're not going to make it, and you have to be strong. Whatever it is, what you're facing, and the devil's saying, you missed it. He's there speaking too, and you have to be strong in the Lord, in your faith, and in his power. No, God's going to come through to me. He said, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto me. I'm standing strong, standing firm on the word of God. We have to do that. Put on, then he tells us how. Put on the full armor of God. So if we don't put it on, what happens? We're vulnerable. Put on, that's something for us to do, for me to do. The onus is on me. Put on the full armor of God, not half of it, so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. So there's a very important note right there. The devil schemes. God plans and the devil schemes. Now, we love to hear about God plans, Jeremiah 29:11. God says, I know the plans that I have for you, plans to prosper you and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. So God has plans, but that's not all there is. The devil schemes. Therein is the battle right there. There's God's plans, and then there's the devil's schemes. And if we're ignorant of his schemes, we'll think it's God's plan and we'll go with it and we'll miss God's plan. So he schemes. For our struggle, so we got a struggle. Everybody say the struggle is real. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Yeah, it's not against your neighbor and his dog. It's not against Trump or Hillary. It's not against your spouse. It's not against your boss. You say, yeah, but you don't know what I'm going through. I'm trying to tell you, it's not what you think. It's not. If your problem is flesh and blood, you're fighting the wrong battle. As he says, our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Well, but, yeah, well, it's not finished there. There's a spiritual power behind the flesh and blood that's giving you trouble. That's where the battle is. We miss it by fighting the flesh and blood. He said, no, that's not your battle. You're fighting the wrong battle. It's higher than that. You win it up there, you get the victory down here. Our struggle's not against flesh and blood, but against rulers. This is Bible. Against authorities. Against the powers of this dark world. Do you recognize there is a dark world around us? And against the spiritual forces of evil. Not just evil, it's two words. Evil. That's when it's really bad. It's evil. Evil in heavenly realms. They're unseen. It's a spiritual battle. Evil is an unseen with the human eye. You can see the manifestation of it. You can see the results of evil. But the source of the evil is in the spirit realm, and you have to fight it in the spirit realm, not in the natural realm. That's where our battle is. It's fought in the spirit realm. It's fought with prayer. It's fought with the word of God. We're going to go into the details, the practicals. First, we want to lay out where our battle is, how it is, and then we're going to talk about how to win the battle. Therefore, I mean, you see a therefore, find out what it's there for. Because we have an enemy, therefore, put on the full armor of God. So that when the day of evil comes, and when does it come? It's just about every day. Because Adam was given authority on the planet, and he subjugated himself, he capitulated his authority to this fallen angel named Lucifer, we'll look into in just a minute. The authority was transferred to Satan. The authority that God gave man, I believe, was for 6,000 years. That authority was turned over to Satan. That's why he is called the ruler of this age or of this period or of this time. The day of evil comes. You may be able to stand your ground after you've done everything to stand. There will come a day of evil in your life, but I want to encourage you and say you can make it. If you stand, if you put on the armor and you stand, you'll get through it. So, you're in a battle. And sometimes I think that the devil works harder at his schemes than we do at being strong. Sometimes they say, you know, if you have an opponent, what can you say anything nice about your opponent? Well, there's one thing you can say about, I don't know if it's nice, but there's one thing you can say about the devil. He is determined. Yeah. And he doesn't give up. He's evil, but he's determined. And so we have to be more determined. So, you know there's evil, and I would say that probably everybody in this room, you've experienced evil. If we went around, you've experienced evil. You've seen it. You've seen something happen, and you go, wow, I don't even understand how a person can do that. It's evil. All around, you see it. Maybe it's happened in your life, and you said, how in the world did that ever happen? And you realize there's something bigger than what just happened. There's a force behind that. So what's the response to that? See, because the devil uses opportune times. You know, I've heard people say, this happened, that happened. If one more thing happens, I'm not... Well, if you were the devil, what would you do? Make sure one more thing happens. He uses opportune times. He tries to get you when you're weak. When you open the door, we'll look at that. And therefore, what is our response? To be afraid? You can be. And it's easy to be overcome by fear. And in fact, the Bible says in the last days, many people's hearts would fail because of fear. Why? Because of what God's doing? No, because they see what the devil's doing. So should we be afraid? Should we quit? No, we put on the armor of God and stand. And what happens if you don't stand? You fall. Have you ever seen a good person fall, a Christian fall? So just being a Christian, that, praise God, being a Christian is awesome. Our sins are forgiven. When we die, we're going to go to heaven. But there's still a battle, and the difference on whether we continue to stand or fall determines on how strong we are. So you have to keep standing, and you have to win and keep winning. I thank God that you made it this far. How many would say today, I shouldn't even be here today? I can tell you story, and we could go around and tell stories on what happened, and you said, but for the grace of God, I wouldn't even be here. How many would say you got that kind of a story? Look at this. Hands all over the room. Almost everybody would say, I can see the hand of God being released in my life, but for the grace of God, I wouldn't even be here. And sometimes it's inexplicable. How? Why? I wonder, why did God appear to me and talk to me? Why? I didn't deserve it. I was a drug deal and party wild person, just a crazy, and I was raised in the church, but then I went a different direction. Why would God come and, do you have feelings like that in your life? Why did God forgive me and give me another chance? Why did God give me the 100th chance, the 10,000th chance? Why does he keep giving me another opportunities? That's God. But there's a devil loose, there's schemes. And some people might say, well, Pastor, I'd really rather not talk about the devil. I understand that feeling. I remember when I first got saved, and I had this guy, I let him live with me, and he didn't have a car, and I used to take him to work. He was a security guard on Key Biscayne, and his boss, the guy that was always there, he was a Christian, but he was so into the devil, it freaked me out. You can get weird, too, on this subject. And I'm telling you, when I used to drop, I'd say, I'm dropping you off at the road because I don't want to talk to you. Your boss scares me, man. He freaks me out. So into the devil. And that might be, well, Pastor, I don't want to talk about that. But you know what? That's because you don't fully understand Christ's victory. Christ's victory over the devil. Others think the devil's cute. He's cool. He's harmless. That's not true. Ephesians 5 says this, have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It might be something, it might be a video game. It might be a movie. It might be something that you read or participate in. Drugs opens the door to the enemy. There's so many things that open the door to the enemy. It says, have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness. And you and I, each of us has to figure out in our own life what is opening the door to the devil. He doesn't show up with the red suit and the horns and the pitchfork and say, I'm the devil. And you know, what would you do? Boom, you'd close the door. He has to come in subtly. It looks good, but you know in your heart it's not, but you open the door and then he gets in little by little. And it says, but rather expose them. And that's what I want to do in your notes. The first thing here, the first note that you got, the first check mark is that the devil is real. He's not an enigma. He's not a symbol in the Bible or a metaphor. He's not some nebulous cosmic force. He's not a feeling. He was an angel in heaven named Lucifer. And he rebelled against God. There's only three named angels in the Bible, so it's assumed by church theologians that the angels were divided into three companies, and each was under a leader. So you have Michael, Gabriel, and Lucifer. And it says a third of the angels rebelled and fought against the rest of the angels, and then God stepped in and just cast them down. So you can read that. I'll give you a couple of references you can put in your note. Isaiah chapter 14, Ezekiel chapter 28 talks about what happened in heaven. He is a real being. He's a created being. He is antithetical to God, but he is not equal to God. He's opposite, but he's not equal in opposites. You understand? He's not the counter God. God is an uncreated being. Lucifer is a created being. God had authority over him, and when he rebelled, he cast him down to the earth. We're going to see that. So you need to understand that he doesn't have the attributes of God. God is omnipotent, meaning all-powerful. He's not all-powerful. There's limits to his power. God is omniscient. He knows everything. Satan only knows what he can know, but he does know a lot because he operates in the spirit realm. God is omnipresent. He's everywhere at once. Satan is not. He can only be in one. Satan can only be in one place at one time, but he does have the demons. The fallen angels that fell with him, we call them demons. And there appear to be very many of them, and they've all been cast down to the earth. But even the demons can only be in one place at one time. So there's a difference. Now let's look in Revelation chapter 12, a little glimpse into the devil. Now, and I'm telling you this because you don't have to be afraid of the devil. And we're going to see this. The less you know, the more scary he appears. The more you know, the more you realize his place and how we can take authority over him. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. The dragon and the angels fought back. So here he's called the dragon. There's different names that are associated with the devil. But he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. It's interesting that God let the good angels fight the bad angels. And then he steps in because Jesus said, if you read it in the Gospels, he said, I saw Satan fall from heaven like what? Like lightning. Like, bam, that boom, snap, he's gone. But for some reason, it's interesting that he allowed a war to take place. And the angels, the fallen angels, were not strong enough. But rather than just let the war go on like that, God steps in and bam. But he cast them down to the earth. Why? God wanted us to have volition. And he wanted us to choose him. And you can't make a really valid choice if you don't have an alternative, right? That's like choose, all right, I want you to choose door number one or door number one. Kind of choice. You don't have a choice. So you got to have, God wants to have a choice of good and evil. He put the second tree in the garden. Hello. It was the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The devil didn't put the tree there. God put that tree there. He wanted us to choose right over wrong, good over evil. So there had to be a choice. If you don't have a door number two, you didn't make a choice. So in order to choose good over evil, you have to be able to choose evil. And so he used this opportunity and he cast Satan to the earth. But it's only for a limited time. I believe it's so that we can see the power of God. It's a test. It's a test to see which force we will join forces with, good or evil. But he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled down. That ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, what does he do? He leads the whole world astray. People talk about conspiracy theories. Oh, there's conspiracy. Oh, there is. There is one being, the devil, who's orchestrating evil. Yeah, that's who is. People aren't that smart. The devil, the devil's doing it. The devil, he leads the whole world astray. If you look at some things that go on in the world, you go, how does a person do that? They're controlled by evil. Evil does that. It is sometimes, it just baffles even just the ordinary human mind to conceive of what can be done. But it's the forces of Satan who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth and his angels with him. Here's some extra scriptures that are on this slide right here that tell us about Satan. Jesus in John 12 called him the ruler of this world. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he's called the God of this age. In Ephesians 2, he's called the prince of the power of the air. In 1 John chapter 5, it says the whole world lies under the sway of the evil one. The second thing you need to know about the devil in your notes is the devil is at war with us. The best thing an enemy can do is to convince you that you don't have an enemy. It's all good. And I understand that, and I like that saying. People say, how's it going? It's all good. Well, that's great. But if you look at the world, it's not all good. And some people have that philosophy. I remember I had a farrier, the guy who used to trim my horse's feet. And I used to stand there and watch to, you know, see what was going on. And he was, but his philosophy, somebody's there, they're kind of tied up. I figure this is a captive audience, share with him about the Lord. And he started sharing his philosophy. And his philosophy was, it's all good. There's no evil, there's no such thing as evil. I tried to reason with him, but, you know, wouldn't that be great? The devil's got people convinced he doesn't even exist. There's no such thing as evil. It's all good. It's not all good. Just look around. It's not all good. The devil is at war with us. Whether you believe it or not, he's still at war with you. Here, 1 Peter chapter 5, 8, 9 says, be self-controlled and alert. Or wake up. Wake up. Some people they're not alert. You got to be alert. Your enemy, wake up. Your enemy, the devil, goes around like a roaring lion looking for someone to eat. What do? Okay, sirrah, sirrah, it's all okay, it's all going to work. We got to do so. Resist him. Don't open the door. Don't invite him. Resist him, standing firm in your faith. The third thing in your notes, the third thing you need to know is that the devil has power. He has power. He's a defeated foe, but he still has power. So what we have to do is enforce the victory. When World War II was over, the Japanese surrendered. My dad was on Saipan. They didn't surrender, those people out there. Either they didn't know or they didn't care. And the victory had to be enforced. Pastor Courtney has gone to be with the Lord. Barbara's husband, who died a few years ago, was our associate pastor here. He was in the war, and when the war was over, he was sent to Japan to enforce, and he saw more action after the war than in the war. He was called an occupational troop to enforce the victory. Even though they signed and they surrendered, they didn't all give up. And he had to enforce the victory. And even though Satan was defeated on a cross 2,000 years ago, he's not playing dead. He's hanging on until the day when God binds him in a pit for 1,000 years. Until then, we have to enforce the victory that was won on the cross in our lives and sometimes in other people's lives, help people understand. There's still a battle going on. So the devil has power, but he has no power over you unless you open the door. Then he has power. Look at this, Ephesians chapter 4. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're angry. So they taught us that when we were in the pre-marriage class, you know, don't go to bed angry. So Rebecca and I have never gone to bed angry. We stay up and fight for 2 or 3 days. We just said, don't go to bed. You get so tired, then you make up, and then you can go to bed. Don't go to bed angry. And do not give the devil a what? A foothold. That's a wrestling term that's being used here by Paul. Don't give him, how many wrestle? I know, how many watch WWE? I mean, the real wrestling stuff, you know. You've seen them sometimes. They get the guy's, all he got is his foot, and he's banging on the mat. Oh, he's got my foot. And that's the way. Imagine if the devil's got your little toe twisting it. It don't matter how strong you are, that hurts. And that's what we do sometimes. That's the picture. You give him a toe. Go ahead, grab my. No, he said, don't do that. Don't give him a toe hold. Don't give him a foothold. And so he's saying, not that we have to be perfect. He's talking about dealing with the issues in our life. Unresolved sin gives the devil a foothold. Not the fact that I slipped up. It's when I just kind of, and then you just let it, and you don't deal with it, and you let it. That's a problem. That right there is your problem. That, it says, gives the devil a foothold. You ever, when you were kids, me and my brother used to fight, and one of you run in the room, and if you could just get your shoe in the door, boom, he can't close the door. Yeah, did you ever do that? I see some of you smiling. You've been in that kind of, if I can just get my shoe, don't matter how strong you cannot close that door. And that's what the devil does. And what does it say does that? Stuff that you're convicted in your heart is wrong, and you don't deal with it. Unresolved sin gives the devil, I'm telling you, when you give the devil a foothold, you're in trouble. He's worse than Hulk Hogan. I mean, he will get you. He will, I mean, and I don't want you to raise your hand, but I think we could tell a story about a time. I could tell you stories about when I gave the devil a foothold. It didn't go too well. And I took a note of that, and I said, don't do that again. Don't do that again. I don't want those results anymore. So it's not that you live a perfect life, but that you repent and you come running to God instead of running from God. Unresolved sin. Resolve issues at home. Don't let them stay there and fester. You got to resolve the issues at home. We need peace in our homes. I was reading Kenneth Copeland's magazine just this week. And that guy's 80 years old. He's been preaching faith and for as long as I can remember. And I'm looking at the results of his life. And he said in the magazine, he said, when we were just got saved and we were struggling and we had nothing. Gloria and I had nothing. We lived in a little shack. We were in debt. And he said, we were just fighting all the time. And he said, we read this scripture about strife. And he said, we sat down and we made a decision. We made an agreement. There will not be, from this day forward, no more strife in our home or in our ministry. He said, that changed everything. Now you look at a guy that's blessed. He made a decision. He said, we never regret that decision. 50 years later, we look back and said, that's the best decision we ever made after receiving Christ as Lord of our life. We don't allow strife in our home. That's a good lesson right there. Fourth thing you need to know is that the devil is subject to God. 1 John 4:4. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them. Talking about the forces of evil. You. Hey, that's some good news. Talking about you right there. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them because the one who's in you, say he's in me, is greater than the one who's in the world. Oh, that's some good stuff right there. Not every problem is caused by the devil. So with every truth, the truth is like a road. It teaches you the path that you need to go on. But like with every road, there's always a ditch on either side. The ditch of excess and the ditch of avoidance. So when we talk about spiritual warfare and we talk about the devil, like that guy, my roommate's boss, he was in a ditch. That's all he ever never talked about. The love of God, about forgiveness, about victory. All he ever wanted to talk about was the devil. And I'm telling you, that was the ditch of excess. You need to find another subject, brother. That's freaking me out. I don't like that. There's a ditch of excess. And some people, everything's the devil. No, we do have some responsibility. Some people, they run out of gas. Oh, that's the BP demon. That's that gas. No, it wasn't the devil made you run out of gas. You didn't put enough gas in the car. You got to put gas in the car. Some stuff's our own fault, and we need to discern which is which. There's a ditch of excess, and there's a ditch of avoidance. Avoidance is, I don't want to talk about the devil. The excess is, that's all I want to talk about. Find the middle of the road. Stay in the middle of the road. So, but the point is, there's more going on spiritually than we realize. There's more going on when there's a fight in your marriage. There's more going on than what meets the eye. There's a spiritual force behind that. Division in churches. There's more going on than we don't like the color of the carpet. There's a spiritual force going on in homes between parents and their children. There's a spiritual battle going on in these areas where the devil gets a foothold. This whole thing in our country about racism. There's more to it. There's a spiritual battle going on for our country. That the hatred that there is in our country that didn't used to be there. And just at the time that I've been observing politics, it used to be, you know, they would disagree and then they'd go out to eat together. But now there's this hatred. There's more going on than just what meets the eye. Good people are allowing the devil to have a heyday. So these things have to be fought with prayer. Some things can only be solved through prayer. There's a war in the spirit realm. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 says, we live in the world, for though we live in the world, we don't wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. That word in the Greek is katharsis. It means to violently tear something down. Well, what about loving God and just worshiping and loving God? Yeah. There's two parts of Christianity, communion and confrontation. They're both very real. You need to have a time we talked about last week, just worshiping God. But you also need to have a time where you're warring in the spirit and you're pulling down strongholds. So what are the weapons? I'm glad you asked. Here they are in your notes. Number one, the first weapon you need to be aware of and use, and this could be a 12-part series easily, so we're just going to kind of synopsis things. The first thing is the name of Jesus. The names have power. Did you realize that? Cancer is a name. Death is a name. Addiction is a name. Depression is a name. They have power. But Jesus is a name that's above every name. Philippians 2, verse 9 says this, therefore God exalted him, being Jesus, to the highest place and gave him, look at this, the name above every name. Names are important. Use the name of Jesus. Be in the name of Jesus. Understand who you are in Christ and use the name when you fight the devil. Even the angel rebuked, when he was talking to Satan, he said, the Lord rebuked you. He used the name right there. You remember the story in Acts when the disciples were casting demons out, and it says the seven sons of Sceva, they're Jewish men, but they weren't Christians, and they saw demons being cast out, and they said, well, we know this guy. He's demon-possessed. We'll go do that. And they saw what they were doing, and they went and imitated him. You can read it in the book of Acts. And it said they went to the demon-possessed man, and they spoke, and they said, come out of him. And the demon spoke back to them, and he said, Jesus we know, Paul we heard of, but who are you? So they weren't in the name. They weren't in Christ. And it says that one demon jumped on the seven brothers, beat the cheese out of them, and it says they ran out of the house naked and bleeding because they didn't have authority. They didn't use the name of Jesus. Well, they weren't in the name. They tried to do it in their name. You see, so the power of the name, his name is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven, earth, and under the earth, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. So let me explain this to you. And that's a Cajun term, splain. And that reminds me of when Scott Hornsby was here. He told this joke, but after 2 years, you can tell it again. So I'm going to tell you, a lot of you didn't hear it. If you heard it before, it's funnier the second time, I promise you. So he's Cajun, you know, Scott Hornsby. He lives in Louisiana. He said, they got Boudreaux and Thibodeau. That's the Cajuns. He said, Boudreaux was looking for some work, and they told him about this guy. He said, pay you $100 for a day's work. He went over there and worked for the guy. He goes to the boss and he says, where's my money? The guy wrote him a check and he said, Daddy, where's my money? He says, that's your money right there. He said, you take that piece of paper to the bank and they'll give you your $100. They'll give you your money. So Boudreaux got the check. He jumped in his P-Row, paddled across the bayou and goes to the bank. He says, I want my money. They looked at it and he flipped it over, handed him a pen, says, you got to sign it. He said, I ain't signed nothing. He said, the man told me, give you the piece of paper, you give him my money. He says, I'll give you your money, you just got to sign the back of it. He said, I ain't going to sign it. He says, well, I'm not going to give you the money. So Boudreaux grabbed the check. He got back in his P-Row, paddled across the bayou to another bank. He goes over there, and he says, I want my money. The guy said, okay. He says, you got to sign a check. He says, I ain't going to sign the check. The man told me just to give you the piece of paper. So the guy said, come here, I want to tell you something. He leaned over the counter. He grabbed him by the back of the head, slammed his head in the counter, slapped him 2 or 3 times, handed him the pen. He said, sign the check. He signed the check. He took the check. He gave him his money. Boudreaux grabbed the money, got in his P-Row, went back to the other bank. He went in there and we saw the guys. He said, I got my money. He said, did you sign the check? He said, yeah, I signed the check. He said, why did you sign the check for me? He said, you didn't explain it the way he did. So I'm going to try to explain it to you. Look at this. Romans 10:13 is so simple. Romans says, everyone, who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Don't complicate it. You say, I want to lead people to Christ, but I don't understand it. Let me explain it to you. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord, that's all you got to do is call on the name of the Lord. It's not complicated. It's easy. Everyone who calls on, it's that simple. The name of Jesus is over sickness, over depression, over cancer, over alcoholism. Those are names. Over drug addiction, over witchcraft, over sexual perversion, pornography, immorality, anger, fear, discouragement. If it's got a name, the name of Jesus is above it. Yes. Say his name with me. Jesus. There's power in that name. The second weapon that you've got put in your notes is the Word of God. We talked about this at length last week, how powerful the Word of God is. If those seven sons of Sceva had the Scripture and they could read like we can, they would see where the power and authority is in the name of Jesus. Hebrews 4 says, the Word of God, that's the Bible, is living. It's alive. The Holy Spirit brings those words alive. It's living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. Man, I like knives. Some of you know. I have a sharpening system. I can make a knife really sharp. But this, the Bible says this word is sharper than the sharpest knife you can find. It's able to cut and pierce through the soul and the spirit. It's alive and it's a weapon. Look, let's go back to Ephesians chapter 6. Pick up where we left off. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, the breastplate of righteousness in place, your feet are fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith. Now look, all those are defensive weapons, but look, there's one more here. Shield of faith, you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation, more defense, And watch this. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. That's your offense. Know who you are. Have the power. Use the sword. When Jesus was tempted by the devil, Luke chapter 4, you can read it. He fasted 40 days in the wilderness. What did he say every time? It is written. And then he quoted a scripture. Second time, it is written. He quoted a scripture. Third time, it is written. He used scripture to fight the devil. Know your word. Read your word. The third weapon is this, the power of the cross. In Revelation 1, John is caught up into heaven, and Jesus speaks to him, and he says, I am he who lives and was dead. That's a pretty good calling card. And behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. He amened himself. Sometimes I might have to amen myself sometimes. You guys don't help me enough. I got amen myself. Amen. Thank you. Okay, I appreciate that. I have the keys of Hades and death. That's a pretty good victory right there. That's who Jesus is. Revelation 12, 11. Now watch this. It's talking about us. They, that's us. That's the saints. That's you. You're a saint or an ain't. A saint is a Christian. An ain't, they are not a Christian yet. They overcame him because of, look at this, three things. The blood of the Lamb. That's the power of the cross. Watch this. Because of the word of their testimony. You got a testimony. Everybody in this room's got a testimony. People say, I'm afraid to share. I don't know what to share. How about your testimony? Nobody can take it away. Nobody can controvert it. It is what it is. You got a testimony. The word of their testimony. And they did not love their life even unto death. And all these things were more than conquerors. Well, Pastor, you know, I tried that. It's not working for me. Go to Romans chapter 8. You just got to hang in there. It doesn't happen the way we think it's going to happen or when we think it's going to happen. God told Abraham, when he's 75 years old, you're going to have a son. He's probably thinking, 9 months from now, I'm having a son. It took 25 years before God said it's time. He was 100. He wanted to make sure nobody got the glory but him. His wife is 90. She never had a child her whole life. And when he came to her at 75, she was 65, and it says she's beyond childbearing age, and now she's 90, and she has a son. God wants to do it his way in his time. Don't give up. Look at this, Romans 8. What shall separate us from the love of Christ? What? What shall cause you to give up? Trouble? Anybody can relate? Hardship? Seen any of that? Persecution? Probably most of us, we haven't been persecuted that much, maybe a little bit. How about famine? Nothing to eat. Nakedness, boy, that's pretty bad. You don't even have enough clothes. Danger or sword, for it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We're considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But no, in all these things, look at that. In all these things, we're more than conquerors. Yeah, more than conquerors. You might feel like what you're going through is the worst thing in the world. Nobody's ever been through it. I'm telling you, others have been through it. Jesus was tempted in every way such as we, but he didn't give up. He didn't quit. And I'm telling you today, you cannot quit. Whatever you're going through, don't let the devil tell you, oh, you know, that's it. You tried, you fasted, you prayed, you tithed, and now it's not, see, it's not, God's stuff's not working. Come on, anybody ever heard that? Yeah. I mean, after I got saved, the devil used to tell me, you're not saved. And I thought, gee, he never told me that before. He never told me that when I was dealing drugs. He never said, you're not saved. But after I committed my life to Christ and I was trying to live, but I failed, and he'd say, you're not saved. If the devil tells you that, for sure and certain, you're doing the right thing. You're on the right path. Whatever you're facing, I just want to encourage you, don't give up. Don't be afraid of the devil. He is a defeated foe. He was defeated on an old rugged cross 2,000 years ago. Jesus didn't do half a job. He said before he died, it's finished. What's finished? It says for this reason he came into the world, to defeat the powers of darkness, to defeat Satan, and it's finished. He defeated him for your life. Whatever you're facing, whatever the devil holds sway over in your life, and he's bringing oppression on you, bringing a hard time to you, whatever it might be, just don't give up. Just keep saying the name. Keep confessing the word. Keep going back to the cross and confessing that. And you're going to make it. I'm here to tell you this morning, you're going to make it. Just don't give up. Don't throw in the sponge. Don't say, I can't do it anymore. We're not afraid of the devil. We're more than conquerors. Let's pray. Everybody bow their head. Let's think about what God wants to do in our lives. I just want you to, some of you just need to say to yourself, I'm more than a conqueror. Some of you need to say to yourself, I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to throw in the towel. I'm not going to blame God. I'm not going to blame another person. I have the victory. I'm not going to allow strife in my home anymore. I'm not going to allow strife in my marriage. I'm not going to allow strife between me and my kids. I'm not going to allow strife in my workplace. I'm not going to allow strife in my life. I'm going to trust God. I'm going to believe God. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I just have a feeling there's some people here today, you're ready to quit. You just said, you know, I've struggled and I'm ready to quit. It's never a good time to quit. I just want you to tell you today, I want to tell you, God's on your side. God's with you in your struggle. Stand strong. Don't quit. Be strong. You'll see the victory. Some of you are far from God today. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Some of you, you're not in the right relationship with God. You know you're far from God. And I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to stand up. I'm not going to ask you to come up front. But I want to lead you in a prayer in just a moment. If you're far from God or you're not where you want to be with God, maybe you've never surrendered your life to Christ, but you can do that. Every head bowed and every eye closed. And you say today, I want to get back on track with God. Just slip up your hand real quick. Thank you. Anybody else? It's a new day, a fresh start. Thank you. Anybody else? Fresh start. Anybody else? Come on. It's a bold step of faith just to raise your hand so I can see it. It's going to be the beginning of great things. I think there's somebody else. You want to make a fresh start today. Anybody else? You want to raise your hand? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Say this prayer with me. Everybody help them right where you're seated. Dear Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on a cross for my sins. And I believe God raised you from the dead. I'm a sinner, and I need a Savior, and I can't save myself. Dear Jesus, please forgive all my sins. Come and live on the inside of me. Make me into a new person. Wherever you lead me, I'll follow. From this day and forevermore. Right now, I'm born again. I'm saved. I'm a Christian. I'm going to heaven. The greater one lives in me. No devil can stop me. No devil is greater than Jesus' power. I'm a winner, and I'm strong, and I'm going to make it. Jesus is Lord. Give the Lord praise. People prayed that prayer, meant business with God.